I've entitled the message today, I Can't. And, you know, there are times that you can say, I can't. And there are times that you can't say, I can't. And there are times that you can say, I can. And times that you can't say, I can. You follow? Are you confused yet? Well, let's jump in and find out. Turn to Deuteronomy in your Bibles, chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Again, I've entitled the message, I Can't. And I want to look at two I Can'ts in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. One of them is good, and one of them is bad. And we'll draw some lessons and some principles from God's word this evening. So let's first thought I want to look at is a good I can't. Now, yesterday in one of our sermons, I mentioned that it should never be in the vocabulary of a Christian to say, I can't. And I forgot one rule is that you should never say never. 100% statements sometimes get you in trouble. I thought more about this principle when I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and the Lord really spoke to me about this, so I want to spend some time on it. So Deuteronomy 1, I want to read verses 8 through 18. It gives a synopsis of a story in the nation of Israel. It says, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying," this is Moses speaking, "and I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, and captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do." To summarize, Moses said, I can't do something. There's something that is too much for me, and I can't do it. I'm not able. He says, I'm not able to bear you myself alone. It's too much for me. And by the way, the character quality that enables a good I can't is humility. And this is what Moses has, a humility. It's coming to the end of yourself and knowing that you can't do everything. In fact, you really can't do anything. So it shouldn't be a stretch to admit that you can't do everything. There are some things that are too much for us. It recognizes, this humility recognizes a need for prayer, a need for God, and also a need for delegation at times and cooperation. There's nobody that can do everything in the Christian life or everything in life, everything in any area. There's nobody that can do everything alone. We all need help. And Moses came to this realization one day when he was approached by someone else, namely his father-in-law. There was a day that Moses was trying to do all this alone. And let's read about it back in the book of Exodus, chapter 18. And I want to start reading in verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening." So all of the daylight hours, they're all standing in line for Moses' judgment. Verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did, notice what it says, all that he did to the people. He thought he was doing something for the people, but Jethro said, you're actually doing something to the people. He saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because, and I'm not saying that Moses is overcome with pride, but I'm going to kind of lean that direction here for a moment. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. A lot of that read very similarly to what Moses said that he thought. And by the way, I wanted to read both to show that Moses was not, I don't think he was taking credit for Jethro's idea. He doesn't mention it in Numbers chapter 1. He doesn't mention that my father-in-law told me this and I listened to him. He just says, I came to the place where I realized I cannot bear it by myself. And where I got that idea was my father-in-law who said, you cannot bear it by yourself. And notice here the humility that it takes for Moses to agree with his father-in-law. To admit, you're right, this is too much for me. This is more than I can handle on my own. There are many people, men mostly, but women as well, that we struggle with pride. And if someone says, you can't do this, we say, what do you mean I can't do this? I'll show you. I'll prove to you I can. I can do anything. And pride gets a lot of people into trouble. And they go in their own strength, they go in their own lunacy, and they fail. And it's not a humiliating thing to admit that you can't do everything. There's no shame in admitting you can't do everything. Remember what David said, Psalm 18, verse 17, about God. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. And some could say, oh, what a humiliating moment where he has to admit that other people are stronger than him. There's no shame in admitting that you're weak. There's no shame in admitting that someone else is stronger than you, because what did David do? He went to God and he got strength and he survived. God delivered him. There's no shame in saying, I can't, in the right way with humility, so that you depend on God. There is shame in saying, I can sometimes. And somebody goes out in their own strength, or I could say in their own weakness, and they make a fool of themselves. Like the time that Samson, he had his hair chopped off by Delilah. He woke up, the Philistines be upon thee. And he says, I will go out and shake myself as before. And he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. So he went out saying, I can. And he should have said, I can't, I need God. And God's power departed and he lost the battle. He lost his freedom. He lost his eyes. All because he said, I can. And there are times that in the Christian life, we need to say, I can't. Handling this problem, doing that. This is more than I can do alone. Everything, by the way, is more than we could do alone, because Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. We need to learn how to say, I can't sometimes, and how to lean on God, how to pray and ask God for help. Sometimes ask other people for help. Sometimes learning the value of cooperation and teamwork. We need to be willing to ask for help from God and from others sometimes. We're all human. And God, by the way, has made us weak on purpose so that we will have his strength and not depend on our own strength. But if we don't ask for it, we won't get his strength. You have not because ye ask not. And so back in Numbers chapter 1, first of all, we see a good I can't. But then we immediately after that passage see a bad I can't. And it's interesting that they go back to back in the same passage. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's continue reading in verse 19. It says, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Now, by the way, whenever you see Kadesh Barnea in the Bible, you ought to always say, dun, 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 oh no, Kadesh Barnea. So when I say Kadesh Barnea, I want you to say, oh no, Kadesh Barnea, dun, 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 oh no. Whenever you see that in the Bible, nothing good ever happens in Kadesh Barnea. And the famous story that happens here at Kadesh Barnea is when Israel fell off the cliff and had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So anyway, I'm not even going to say Kadesh Barnea, dun, 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 oh no, anymore. Don't worry, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'll say that place. Okay, so let's go on and read about it, verse 20. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And let's skip down to verse 28. Look what it says. This is their response. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren, so they sent out 12 spies and they came back and said, oh, it's too hard. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And listen to what it says. This is the same passage or the same event in Numbers 13. They say this in so many words. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In a nutshell, God said, I want you to go to Canaan and possess it. And they said, I can't. And it's a bad I can't. Moses had said a good I can't. He had said, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to bite off more than I can chew, and I can't do it alone. So I want to delegate, I want to ask for God's help. But this, and by the way, we looked at Moses' humility to be able to say I can't. This is unbelief that says I can't. And the difference is God had given them a command. God never commanded Moses to do everything like that on his own. He just was doing that, but God didn't lay it on him. But this was a command that God gave. I want you to go and possess the land. And their unbelief said, I can't. It's a character flaw. And whenever God tells us to do something and we say, I can't, it's always a character flaw. We need to be aware here of something that's often referred to as false humility. They could look, you could say the same thing about Moses. Oh, you know, it's just Moses said, I can't do it. They said the same thing. That's too much for me. I can't do it. So they're also having humility. But this is a false humility that we need to really be aware of in our lives. It is never humility that keeps people from obeying God. It's always unbelief. And don't be fooled by the difference. And then ask yourself, have you been kept back by a false humility in your life? Is there something that God wants you to do that you haven't done and you've been hiding behind as an excuse, a false humility? Well, you know, I'm just not really cut out for that. I know God says to do it. I know he commands me to, but I'm not really up to that. This reminds us of, by the way, we're holding up Moses here as a good example, but Moses early on was at this place in his life where God told him to do something, and he hid behind a false humility. Let's read this. Exodus chapter 3. This is at the burning bush when God comes to Moses and says, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Exodus 3 and verse 11, Moses begins to make excuses. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, just little old me. I'm nobody. They wouldn't even recognize me. They wouldn't give me the time of day. The Israelites won't listen. Pharaoh won't listen. I mean, who am I? It's a false humility. Verse 10, he says this, or chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And by the way, I think he was probably talking normal until that moment when he thought, yeah, let me try this excuse. God, I don't have the ability to speak well. And so I think he all of a sudden comes up with these excuses that look like he is putting himself down, but it's a false humility. What it really is a lack of faith. Remember what God had said to Moses when he comes to him? Listen to Exodus 3, verse 8. God said, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land. He said, I am going to do this. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, but I am going to be the one to do it. We see it again in Exodus 3 and verse 20. He says, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And so Moses makes all these excuses. He says, you know, who am I? And I am not eloquent. I'm of a slow tongue. He's discounting himself. But it's not humility. It's a lack of trust in what God had just said he would do. See, he wasn't telling Moses to go and do great things himself. He's saying, I want you to go, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be with you. And whenever we say, I can't at that moment, it's not humility, it's unbelief. It's a lack of faith in God. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about this with this story. It pins it right on the nation of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. Oh, no. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 3 talks about that place. Listen to verse 12. It talks about us. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So what they did, we need to be aware of in our lives that we would follow their bad example. And listen what it says, Hebrews 3 and verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God had told them to go into the land and possess it. And they said, no, we can't. And it went from, which really meant that we won't because of their unbelief. Their unbelief caused them to disobey God. And notice what it said at the end of that verse. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Notice, they didn't try to go possess the land because of their unbelief. And all of a sudden, they did not became they could not. At first, they could have. If they had obeyed, if they had believed, but because they disobeyed, God said, now you cannot. Now I'm not going to allow you. Now you're not going to be able. You could have been able if you had obeyed, but now you are not going to be able. And by the way, remember the story. They said, okay, yeah, well, okay, never. God told them, you're going to wander for 40 years. And he said, oh, no, 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 we'll go now. And they go up to the top of the hill. Moses said, don't go now because God's not with you. And they went anyway and they lost the battle. They were humiliated because whenever we say, I can't, I don't have the ability to, it really means I won't. But it could get to the place where God says, all right, now you can't. Now I'm going to hold you in this place of punishment. Here's what we see in this story. When God gave them this command, by the way, if they had been able to inherit the land, they knew that would be a blessing, but God commanded them to inherit the land. God commanded them to go and possess the land. And what we see here is that the commands of God are a privilege. So many times people look at God's commands and rules as, oh, he's trying to control me. He's trying to tell me what to do and run my life. But if God ever tells you to do something, doing that is a privilege because you will be blessed by God if you walk in faith and obedience. Remember that song, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. If you will trust and obey, it is always a privilege because God will bless you as a result of it. God always blesses obedience in many ways and at many times. He'll bless you now and he'll bless you later. But if we decide that we are not going to, we might get to the place where God says, okay, well, I'm going to take this blessing off the table now. What would have been a privilege for you to do now is not possible. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He said, I'm scared to death of missing out on God's blessing in my life. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That means if God tells me to do something, I control myself and make sure I don't rebel against God. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And the word castaway there means to be disqualified from reward. Paul said, I'm scared to death of getting to the place in my life where the privileges that God wanted for me are now off the table. They're now no longer a possibility. He said, I want to avoid that at all costs. And that's where the nation of Israel was. They could not enter in. They missed out on God's rest. They missed out on God's blessing because of unbelief. So remember now Joshua, when God told Moses, go let my people go, Moses said, oh, I don't think I can do it. And then Moses dies and God comes to Joshua and says, I want you to take them into the promised land, go and possess the land. And Joshua, he doesn't say, now I don't know what he's thinking in his heart, but God tells him many times in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage, be courageous, don't be afraid, you know. So I think he was afraid, and God helps him. And here's what God says to him that gets him over the hump. Joshua 1, verse 2. I'm going to read three verses in Joshua 1. First, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I want you to get up and go possess the land. Listen to verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So he says it again, be strong and of good courage. You're going to do this. You're going to divide the land. And listen to verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Here's why. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The reason you don't have to be afraid, the reason you don't have to have unbelief, you don't have to doubt, you don't have to disobey, is because I am with you. By the way, this truth was also true of the people at the place where they disobeyed God. God was with them. God would have been with them to go into the land, but they didn't believe. And I love this combination. Whenever God gives a command, he will always give his presence. He will always give his power, the enablement. He will always give his provision, whatever is needed. If God gives a command, he will enable us and provide for us to keep it. There's an old saying, wherever God guides, he provides. If God wants you to do something, you will have enough money to do it. You'll have enough resources. You'll have whatever education. You'll have opportunities. If God wants you to do it, if he commands you, he will make it happen. Because God will never ask of us more than is possible. And with God, there's nothing impossible. If he commands it, he will enable it. And the famous verse that we lean on, hopefully, so many times in life is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Obviously, the operable phrase in that verse is through Christ. If you stop the verse, I can do all things, it's a lie. It's self-delusion. But I can do all things through Christ. Remember John 15 verse 5, without me you can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. Jesus makes the difference, and he is with us, and that makes all the difference in the world. There are times that we should say, I can't. And it's our humility. We shouldn't lean on ourselves. You see, this is not a paradox. This is not a contradiction. Whenever we say, I can't, it's because we have faith in Jesus that he can. And whenever we say, I can, it's again because we have faith in Jesus, because he can. So to sum it up, whenever God tells you to do something, have the humility to say, I can't do this alone, but with you, I can do anything, and so I will. I need God's help and maybe the help of others, but I can do this. And then also have the faith to say, I can do this with the help of God, because God can do anything, and he is with me. Learn how to say, I can't, and lean on God. And learn how to say, I can, and lean on God. He's with you. He, no matter where you go, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't fall after the same example of unbelief. Don't get stripped of the blessings and the privileges that God wants for you in your life. If God tells you to do something, you can, because he can. Let's pray together.